You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. So finally, we have week 11 in the books. We could put a bow on it with the Falcons-Seahawks game. 34-31, Atlanta wins. We'll break that game down before we get into our usual Pickup Tuesday work, which is helping you with waiver wire and free agent advice to make your team better for week 12. And as a reminder, programming note, this is an abbreviated week of Locked On Fantasy Football. We won't have a Thanksgiving show, so we'll do our second annual Mashup Wednesday. We'll do Matchup Wednesday and Lineup Thursday, kind of rolled into one show there for you to break down all the games of week 12, including three Thursday games. So remember that. You want to set your lineups earlier this week. So let's dive right into wrapping up week 11 with the Seahawks and Falcons. On the Falcons side, Matt Ryan, another solid game, wasn't spectacular, but in a tough matchup in Seattle, you'll take it, 195 yards and a pair of scores, and they win this game. Some ugly turnovers from the Seahawks early that helped the Falcons hold on in the end, but it was a bit of a grind for Tevin Coleman, as you might expect, against the Seattle run defense, but he still found the end zone. 20 carries, 43 yards. Also had one catch for 15 yards. So solid game given the matchup, but really he was a one inch short of scoring one more touchdown that would have put this game totally away for the Falcons late. So had a chance there, but the volume was certainly there with no Devonta Freeman. We'll have to see if Freeman can return against the Bucs. If not, Coleman is going to have another big rushing and receiving role. We look at Julio Jones, still not that spectacular game you're looking for, but still made some spectacular catches. Targeted 10 times, 5 catches for 71 yards. So a lot of inefficiency still between Ryan and Jones. Jones is making some spectacular catches, missing some routine ones. And on other plays, Ryan and him are off on the downfield connection. So that part isn't working. What is working is Mohamed Sanu and Matt Ryan. They continue to have a good connection. 3 catches, 34 yards, and a great catch there for TD for Sanu. Levine Tololo scored the other touchdown. So it was frustrating if you hoped the best for Austin Hooper. It was 3 catches, 34 for Sanu, 231 for Tololo with the scores. But Austin Hooper, 2 catches minus 1. The game flow just didn't favor him as being the lesser blocker of those two tight ends. I think it'll be better against the Buccaneers next week. On the Seahawks side of things, Russell Wilson just continues to ball out for your fantasy team. 258 yards, 2 TDs. Did have a pick early, was sacked 3 times, but 86 yards rushing to lead the team again. What else is new? And a TD. Here, in terms of the backfield, there were some flashes of Mike Davis, just activated from the practice squad, to maybe be a better option than Thomas Rawls or Eddie Lacy. Davis, 6 for 18, not much there. 2 for 41 in the receiving game. J.D. McKissic looked like the best back overall, 12 touches for 53 yards. But still, when you add all those guys together, and Lacy there being short at the goal line with his only chance to score, it's just an ugly, ugly thing to trust any of the Seahawks running backs. In terms of Seahawks receivers, you're still locked in them. Jimmy Graham, 7 for 58. The TD streak continues. He also had a 2-point conversion here. 5 for 56 for Paul Richardson. Not bad in a PPR on 8 balls. And then 2 for 40, Baldwin. Doug Baldwin really struggled with 6 targets. Had some good coverage there from Desmond Trufant, but did get it in the end zone. So Baldwin, Graham, Wilson are the guys you're looking at here for the most part to trust on Seattle. For the Falcons right now, they have a few more options with Coleman and Jones and Sanu being a big part of this offense. So hopefully Freeman returns there, but you were definitely pleased if you went with the Falcons this week and their principles, while the Seahawks 2 came through for you, and that's what you're looking for mainly in fantasy. Tough loss for the Seahawks, but good fantasy production late in the week. Now we go to the waiver wire, and we'll start with the running backs because this is where you want to make your biggest hay. We mentioned two guys from last week that if for some reason they weren't picked up, now's the time to do so. Samaj Perine of the Redskins, he got a 100-yard game filling in for Rob Kelly, the breakout they were looking for. Now there's no Chris Thompson anymore in the mix. He was out for the season with a fractured fibula. The Giants are coming. It's not a bad matchup for Perine to get hot here. And he's just done a lot of things. He's been pushed by the coaching staff. Finally, it's come through. So Perine is a very useful RB2. If you got him last week, if you still see him available in your league, you better go get him now. Now, Danny Woodhead, similar situation. We weren't sure if he's going to return, but if you stashed him on your injured reserve spot, you saw that they pretty much won him to be the receiving back right away. He got those touches over Buck Allen. Alex Collins is still the lead here, but they're playing the Texans this week, so maybe tougher to power run, and Woodhead might be a bigger factor in his second game back from the hamstring injury. Another back that you have to look at is Devontae Booker of Denver. With the Booker, the standout thing is that he got more touches and work than C.J. Anderson. Anderson did score against the Bengals, but they've always hinted at wanting to see more Booker. It came to fruition here, a good yardage game there against the Bengals. So he's definitely a guy that you should go after now as a young back. And in a three-headed monster that he might have the biggest upside. Same thing, very similar situation with Elijah McGuire. We're not sure about Matt Forte coming back from the bye, if he's going to be able to play. So Bilal Powell's limited upside. The Jets need to look at the future. McGuire, tough matchup against the Panthers, who don't allow much rushing yardage, but he's going to get some touches, maybe get involved in the passing game going forward. So Elijah McGuire definitely has to be owned now in the 12-team league range. If you're starting to go a little bit deeper, Damien Williams, I don't completely trust this Dolphins backfield the way Adam Gase is using it. Kenyon Drake looked like the bell cow or the early down guy of choice for the first 2 weeks without Jay Ajayi, but Williams all of a sudden touched the ball a lot. The key there is pass protection. If the Dolphins are in trouble with that, taking sacks and hits, they need Williams. He's a better pass protector and a better pass catcher than Drake, so that's going to play out. And I think when you look at the Patriots game this week, I would expect a lot more Williams than Drake because they're going to be trailing in the game. They need somebody to keep either quarterback clean. So I think Williams, if someone dropped him, worried about the Drake matchup, go and get Williams for your team this week and potentially playable there as well. You also have to look at Austin Eckler here. He's a big part of this Chargers offense. Sure, he scored there in garbage time where the Chargers had all their starters sitting with that 50-burger they put on the Bills, but now he scored 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks. He is a key cog of this offense. They want to be run heavy there with Anthony Lynn. The matchup against the Cowboys is very favorable. He's an outside running back that can get some good touches here. No Sean Lee in there, so Eckler can be useful for you, and he's definitely a critical Melvin Gordon handcuff at this point, but he also has some standalone values of flex and can be deployed right away in a matchup like this. Corey Clement is a guy that you can also look at in a similar role in the young back vein that's behind some other guys in a crowded area, but they definitely love Clement in Philadelphia. He's kind of what they wanted from Darren Sproles, but a little bit more versatile than that. He can be used in the red zone to score. He's just does a lot of little things right. They want him out in the field there. I know there's LeGarrette Blount and Kenyon Barner behind Jay Ajayi as well. Ajayi is clearly the number one there, but Clement is definitely having a role here. Kind of a Woodhead-like Austin Eckler type role where he's not going to go away anytime soon for this team. Tarik Cohen, very similar as well with the Bears. They finally used him a lot, and he paid off against the Lions. So there should be some garbage opportunities against the Eagles, but let's hope that they don't go away from using Cohen. Now, I think you also have to look at TJ Yeldon. Make sure you have him in case with Leonard Fournette here, but he definitely has some independent value of Fournette as they're using him more in the mix in the passing game as well. He's a great handcuff for Fournette over Chris Ivory at the moment as well. So that's another guy that you definitely have to look at in your leagues at running back. I think Chris Ivory is right there with him, but I think I prefer Yeldon there behind Fournette. And the last guy I'll mention is Rod Smith of the Cowboys. The game flow at some point is going to have to favor Smith. I know Alfred Morris did look good against the Eagles, but they need some spark in the passing game, and Rod Smith is a better back equipped to do that. So he's definitely worth a stash again for the second straight week if he's still available in your leagues. Now, ever since I started doing this podcast, people ask me, who do I like to win? Falcons or Seahawks? Chargers or Cowboys? Eagles or Bears? And I say, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on in a particular week. And that's why I tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for many years, and their all-new website is a great tool to use for your wagering purposes. And for me, it just doesn't get better than that experience at MyBookie. And they're great. They have some of the best player perks in the business, and they have a all-new mobile site that makes wagering on a go a breeze. And best of all, they're giving you a nice 100% deposit bonus there if you use the promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. You put that in, and you can take advantage of that. And you play, you win, you get paid. And seriously, you can get paid in just 2 business days there. So that's great. You can get in on the action wherever you're at, and they'll make sure to reward you as soon as you've won. So put your knowledge to the test. If you know who's going to win, make sure you make some cold card cash doing it. So MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Use the promo code Locked On and then take advantage of that big deposit bonus on MyBookie now. As we continue on the show, we're looking at the quarterbacks for this week. And Tyrod Taylor, let's hope that the Bills, after seeing what Nathan Peterman did there in Los Angeles, that they got to go back to Taylor. Taylor still was a good fantasy day, even though he didn't start, because he came in and played well while Nathan Peterman had the 5 interceptions. I can't even believe it's a question mark as of press time on who they're going to start. With the playoffs still on the line, opportunity against the Chiefs team this week. I mean, this is a pretty critical game for the AFC wildcard picture if the Chiefs and Bills really want to stick around in this. So you think that Tyrod Taylor would be back in. We know it's a good matchup against his Chiefs secondary. I know it didn't really happen for Eli Manning last week, but keep in mind he was down Sterling Shepard. Well, Taylor is going to be down Kelvin Benjamin here, but he's got other guys that can produce and score on this team. He just gets the job done with his running, throws a touchdown pass here, there, and he's good at picking up garbage yards. So Taylor, for fantasy purposes, let's hope that the Chiefs bring him back, because he's also, or the Bills bring him back against Chief, and then it's just a better reality situation for Taylor. He's just a better quarterback at this point in time for a team that still has playoff aspirations. So the Bills would make a better decision, and it helps fantasy football well as well. So that's a win-win situation. Case Keenum, you definitely have to look at. The Lions game is very intriguing. I think just overall, this is a good passing offense, and Keenum is at the controls. He's not going to lose it anytime soon. So in Detroit, it could be a bit of an interesting high-scoring game. I think the Lions can be more vulnerable against the run. But so you may not use Keenum particularly in this week, but looks like he's going to hold on to the starting job. They do have some favorable matchups coming up down the stretch here, but it's just a good offense here where Keenum has to be owned in a lot of leagues because he's a big factor there. Andy Dalton, if you're looking for that streamer, you have to think about him at home against Cleveland. He's pretty solid. He even came through with 3 TDs in Denver last week, so he's not going to really be spectacular at all. But if you want the 215-2, good old wheelhouse of production, he can get that for you for sure. Jacoby Brissett, I really like this week. I think he can do some things against the Titans defense at home. He's just built to be a better quarterback at home. They're well rested. The weapons are going to be in line. The Colts team is going to play hard offense here. Marlon Mack and Jack Doyle and all his weapons. T.Y. Hilton can have a big game here. So I do like Jacoby Brissett as a streamer as well. I like him better as a particular streamer than Keenum this week, about on the level of Tyrod Taylor. He's still more of a short-term pickup for me. And another guy you have to look at is Ryan Fitzpatrick. He is having the controls of a good Bucs passing game. It seems to have gotten better with him with no Jameis Winston, even though Mike Evans is still not getting an end zone. He's spreading it around, getting it to O.J. Howard. He's getting it to DeSean Jackson. Cameron Brate has not been as big a factor, but Fitzpatrick is finding ways to get the job done with the backs, tight ends, and receivers. So he looks more comfortable in the offense now that he's settled, and it's not a bad matchup against Atlanta in terms of the high volume catch-up mode, so maybe some production there for Fitzpatrick. And finally, Jimmy Garoppolo, just in deeper leagues, just to think about, Jimmy G might be starting in Seattle. Again, Seattle is not as scary pass defense-wise without Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, but you're not going to just throw in Garoppolo cold. I don't think there's any need to do that. There are some favorable matchups down the line where if you see Garoppolo and you like him early in that 49ers offense that he's just learning, then you can go in that direction. Now we go to wide receiver, and hey, look at this. It's the guys that were drafted in the 2016 first round that are actually coming to life here. Corey Coleman and Josh Doctson, in that order I would go with them. Finally, these guys are producing the way we thought they could, and they've finally been given the opportunity. Coleman has returned healthy from the hand injury, stepped in right away to be the Browns' number one receiver. So, yeah, Josh Gordon is always going to be a stack there just because of his presence, but he's way down the list versus Corey Coleman for me, because Coleman is there, present right now, has the established chemistry with Kaiser that Gordon is going to have to develop, a quarterback that he's not even familiar with. He didn't practice with the way Coleman did. So Coleman is way high on the list to me as a wide receiver three that you have to look at. And you know the game flow with the Browns is going to be high volume for Coleman. They've been looking for a receiver like this that isn't Kenny Britt or Ricardo Lewis or Rashard Higgins. And that's what you're seeing from Coleman. He's manifesting his talent out there. Same thing with Doctson, a big body. We're seeing that. He's going up and get the ball against even good corners, even if they're a little smaller. And we've seen this come on strong for the Redskins. Terrell Pryor, remember, has an ankle injury that could be very serious. He wasn't doing much anyway, but now that you've had more guys emerge, like Vernon Davis back to his old self with no Jordan Reed, Jameson Crowder starting to play better, Ryan Grant is becoming a factor, that's opening things up for Doctson again to be kind of the number one he was built to be for this team. So Coleman and Doctson, long overdue. We've been waiting a season and a half for them to be like this, but very similar guys in similar situations and similar pedigree out of the Big 12, and you're starting to see that happen here in 2017. Another guy that I'm kind of intrigued by is Mike Wallace, just because we know he had a big season last year, his first season with the Ravens, connecting well with Joe Flacco. He's come on strong, made a ridiculous touchdown catch against Green Bay. It's another great matchup with a bad secondary. The Texans are really struggling. Wallace and Joe Flacco have a good chemistry. We've seen Jeremy Maclin be a factor, but I think Wallace, just from the established 1 year extra, is the guy there that you're going to look at more. But Wallace should be available in a lot of leagues and should really be owned in most leagues at this point. Another guy that I look at is Marquise Goodwin. He is technically the number one receiver in San Francisco now with no Pierre Garçon. He had the one catch, big play, emotional day against the Giants and did score. But I think he could be a bigger factor going forward. I think some people look at him as the one-trick speedster, which for the most part, that's how he's been treated by the Bills and 49ers. But Here's a guy that is going to get a lot of targets, and with Garoppolo, as I mentioned, maybe coming around the corner, that's going to help all these receivers for sure. Not that C.J. Beathard was terrible, but he needed the right things to play out. Well, Garoppolo has the arm and talent to maybe get Goodwin more involved consistently there in the offense. So Goodwin is definitely on the radar. So is Kenny Stills. Now, I've noticed this. If it's Matt Moore again with Jay Cutler having concussion protocol, Matt Moore is a Kenny Stills guy, while Parker is the guy for Jay Cutler. So keep that in mind, that Parker just doesn't get as many looks. It's the connection that Moore has with Stills from working with him more in these situations. So Stills is the guy you have to look at for maybe some garbage time production against the New England Patriots this week. So if Moore starts, you should feel pretty good about Stills and not feel good at all about Devontae Parker and his chances to produce this week. Now, there's not too many other wide receivers we're looking at. I think the rest are a bit of reaches, but one guy that I'm going to look at that we didn't really talk about last week was Zay Jones of the Bills. Now, I mentioned Tyrod and the matchup there in Kansas City. Look at Zay Jones. There's no more Kelvin Benjamin, and Zay Jones has come on strong. If you recall before the break there, when the Bills played the Jets, they really looked at Jones more. They wanted to get him involved. Then he got hurt in that game. He had to be out for a game. So Jones is now the de facto number one there. He has to be a bigger factor. So I bet Taylor is going to target Jones more. So if some people forgot about him a little bit and Jones is out there, the rookie from East Carolina, I think he could be very productive for sure. So they're your wide receivers there. It's very similar to what we've heard at some points this season, but now you can feel more confident about picking up these particular guys. And you should also be more confident that you know your teams inside and out in Reality NFL. With the Locked On NFL channel, we've got you covered, your team, your way every day on this network. So it's your personal beat report that comes your way. Anything you need to know about your team, you listen to those podcasts, the team by team that we have on the network, and you'll be super informed. So make sure you're checking that out and giving those guys a good review as well. We enjoy listening to their podcasts and their insight, and you should too. Now we'll close the show with the tight ends and defenses. And if for some reason Greg Olsen was let go or your team doesn't have an injury spot, you have to jump on him. But it's doubtful that Greg Olsen is available in your leagues, but you have to take a look-see just in case. And if he is, you're going to jump all over him. Obviously, he's going to come back from that injury in Week 12 against the Jets. So good to go from the foot for Olsen, and he could be a big factor in the fantasy playoffs. Now, let's turn the attention to guys that you can pick up this week that may be more widely available. I look at Tyler Kroft of the Bengals. He just keeps coming through, and it's a great matchup against the Browns. He came through against Denver with that short touchdown that we expected. So, Kroft, you're locked into for sure if he's still available. Adam Shaheen, I am really interested in Adam Shaheen of the Bears. This rookie from Ashland, you know he was a high talent priority for the Bears when they used a second round pick on him. They've been waiting for him, and unfortunately it had to be the Zach Miller ugly injury that got Shaheen more involved. But you saw right away what a big impact he had. Very big, very athletic. Tight end is a rookie quarterback's best friend. It's been the Dontrell Inman and Adam Shaheen show for Mitchell Trubisky of late. So when you look at that, Shaheen has some good value here as a streamer. The Philadelphia matchup, they have given up some to tight ends. They actually didn't do much damage allowed last week against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys' offense was totally inept. The Bears, you can move around Trubisky. Some underneath passes to Shaheen will be available. So Shaheen, I wouldn't look at him unless you're in a deeper league to start this week, but in the next few weeks to finish the season, I think Shaheen could have some good value. If you've been hurting a tight end and you have a pretty good team that's headed to the playoffs, he's got to look at it. O.J. Howard, speaking of rookie tight ends, this guy we expect a lot more of, but all of a sudden he's come on strong as a receiver. He had the one game early in the season where he exploded for two TDs, kind of disappeared, but now they're using him more in blocking situations, which is helping him in receiving situations. So Cameron Brate, you know, at some point the talent might push towards Howard being used more as a receiver over Brate, especially in red zone, and now Howard has kind of been there. So disappointing for Brate owners, but you can pivot to Howard now to help your team. And C.J. Fedorowicz, we didn't see the big production against the Cardinals. I didn't think it was a good matchup because they've been pretty good against the tight end overall this season. But you look at the Ravens matchup, they're a little bit more vulnerable at that against that position, especially in scoring position. So if there's going to be one Texan that scores in a really tough matchup there against the Ravens on the road on Monday night, I would go with C.J. Fedorowicz. And finally, we'll close with the look at the defenses that could be available this week for you. The Bengals had a pretty good game against Denver. They almost had that pick six, stopped short there of the goal line. Unfortunately, it was the longest return without a score from an interception. But they're playing the Browns this week. We know the Browns give up points to defenses in droves, so easy choice there. Chargers coming off a big week against the Bills, the lowly Bills. Now they get the Cowboys on a short week. They're back in business as a legitimate defense that you can look at. They go after the quarterback very well. That's not good for Dak Prescott. They can take away his top receivers, force some turnovers. So the Chargers looking good, having a lot of momentum coming off that game, and one more strong game ahead, and their schedule really plays out very favorably here beyond this Cowboys game. When you look at it, they get the Browns next week. They get the Redskins at home the following week, a team that can give up points. And then they close later with the Jets and do get the Chiefs there in Week 16. But you can use them against in Week 16, where the Chiefs come in Week 15. So there's only one week where you can't use the Chargers going forward. So that is a team that can really help you now and later, and you got to look at them for sure. I just like the Bengals a little bit more in this particular week. And then the Redskins, they get the Giants at home this week, so you can look at that. They'll be pumped up by primetime a little bit, so not a bad streaming option for you this week. And those are definitely the three defenses I'm looking at easily, and those are the ones that are probably most available in your leagues at this point. I mean, I think the Jaguars, Chiefs, teams like that are probably taking the Ravens as well. So you got to find bargains, especially with a team like the Seahawks struggling at the moment. So go for those three teams for sure. They can be a big factor in fantasy football this week. So there you have it. There's your Pickup Tuesday for Week 12. A lot of good stuff there. Help everywhere. This is the way fantasy football goes. You just when you think there's nobody good to help you at any point in the season, at the most critical time, if you need help to kind of shore up a playoff roster or really get one or two guys that can make a difference in your push for the playoffs, this is how you have to do it. You always have to be looking to improve your team on waiver wire or free agency. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow for our special holiday mashup Wednesday show.